Hello everyone, I'm Phil Liggett and you're listening to the Fredcast on the Tour de France 2008. Enjoy it.
Welcome to the Daily Tour Podcast brought to you by the Fredcast. This almost daily summary of the 2008 Tour de France will be presented soon after the end of each day's racing so that you can stay up to date on the world's most famous and, some would argue, most important annual cycling event. The Daily Tour is brought to you by the Fredcast Cycling Podcast for weekly news, product reviews, upcoming events, and everything you need to know about the world of cycling. Listen to the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. The Fredcast can be found at www.thefredcast.com, iTunes, or anywhere you normally look for podcasts. For over 2 years and 100 episodes, the Fredcast is the internet's premier cycling podcast. The Daily Tour is also brought to you by listeners like you. Thank you for your donations via PayPal, and if you'd like to donate, please visit our website at www.thefredcast.com. And now, it's time for the Tour de France 2008 edition of the Daily Tour Podcast. Welcome back to the Daily Tour Podcast. This is David Bernstein from the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. Thanks for joining us for another of our daily reviews of the 2008 Tour de France. Well, today is stage three. It's Monday, July the 7th, and time for yet another stage of the Tour de France. Well, going into today's stage, here are your standings. Again, in first place in the general classification, wearing the maillot jaune, the yellow jersey of the race leader, it's Alejandro Valverde from Spain and the Castapagna team. He's got 8 hours, 21 minutes, and 20 seconds. The rest of the top 10 are just 1 second behind the leader. Second place is Kim Kirkin from Luxembourg and Team Colombia. In third from Rabobank and Spain, it's Oscar Freire. In fourth, JJ Cobo Acebo from Saunier Duval. He's from Spain. From Australia, one of the race favorites, in fifth place, Cadel Evans from Silence Lotto. From Bouygues Telecom, from France, Jérôme Pinault. In seventh place from the UK on the Garmin Chipotle squad, it's David Miller. In eighth, another one of the race's favorites from Italy and Saunier Duval, it's Ricardo Rico. Ninth place from Team CSC, soon to be called Saxo Bank, it's Frank Schleck from Luxembourg. And in tenth, Filippo Pizzato from Italy and Team Liquigas. In the green jersey with 54 points, Kim Kirkin, our second place leader in the general classification. In the white jersey for the best young rider, Ricardo Rico from Italy, from Saunier Duval. And in the polka dot jersey from Bouygues Telecom with 19 King of the Mountains points, it's Thomas Vogler from France. Well, let's look at today's stage before we begin. And this truly is a flat stage, whereas the previous two stages, the ASO, the Amaury Sports Organization, the organizers of the Tour de France, had called them flat stages. We had some category four as well as a category three climb. So not what your recreational cyclist might call a flat stage. Today's, however, 208 kilometers from Saint-Malo to Nantes, our final stage here in Brittany. Again, 208 kilometers, and this one is flat. However, there are three intermediate sprints, all three of them coming very early into the race. So let's do a recap of today's stage and look at how it went. Well, today's stage started off with action extremely early, and that's fairly typical for a stage of the Tour de France. What we will find is a lot of people testing the waters to see whether or not they can have a breakaway succeed, and today, indeed, we saw one succeed very early. And then the question was, would it succeed through the end of the day? Because typically what happens with these breakaways, they get away, they gather their sprint points or the King of the Mountain points, whatever it is that the men in the break are looking for, but very rarely do they actually make it to the finish line with a gap between themselves and the peloton. Nevertheless, it's always exciting to watch the cat and mouse games that occur, especially at the beginning of the stage, to see what will work, which teams are really going for it, and which ones are just happy to stay within the peloton. Well, almost at kilometer zero today when they began racing, And by the way, let me back up one second. If you are new to stage racing, one of the things that you will find out is that when the racers leave the start line, typically there is a period of neutral course where it's really a parade lap for the fans that have come out to watch the start, or perhaps just a time for the racers to shake out their legs, do a little bit of a warm-up before the actual racing begins. And then at a certain point, the race commissaires will wave the riders on and tell them that it is time to race. And almost from that kilometer zero, William Frischkorn from the new Garmin Chipotle squad, formerly known as Slipstream Chipotle, took off, soon joined by Paolo Longoborghini from Team Barlow World, also in there Roman Felu from Aigree Tout Belle, and from Cofidis, Samuel Dumoulin. The first sprint was at 21.5 kilometers into the race. It was at Saint-Piat. That sprint was won by Dumoulin, second place points going to Borghini, and third to Felu. At the second sprint at Bechamel, 48.5 kilometers into the race, that was won by Borghini, second place points to Felu, and third to the American William Frischkorn. Third place at Montauban de Bretagne, 62 kilometers into the race, William Frischkorn took first place points, Roman Felu taking second, and Samuel Dumoulin taking third place points. Now, at one point, this breakaway had a lead of over 15 minutes over the peloton before the peloton got organized, got serious, and decided to start chasing them down. As a matter of fact, by the 100-kilometer to go mark, the lead was chopped down to 10 minutes, and it continued to drop throughout the day. As I mentioned on yesterday's Daily Tour podcast, the weather can really either help or hinder a breakaway. And I mentioned with good tailwinds, there was always the possibility for a breakaway to succeed. Here today, though, the weather was fickle at best. We went from periods of cloudy sunshine to periods of driving rain and very strong winds. At times there were tailwinds, at times headwinds, at times strong crosswinds, and you could see the racers forming up in echelons as necessary for those crosswinds. As you can imagine, it can be difficult conditions out there for a racer as they put on a rain jacket, take off a rain jacket, put one on. A lot of the racers were out there today in arm warmers throughout the entire day, but one of the racers, as a matter of fact, Garmin Chipotle's Martin Mascant, learned the problem with putting on and removing rain jackets as just before the 100-kilometer mark, his rain jacket actually got stuck in his rear wheel and rear brake. It wasn't a big deal for him, but it does point out, for those of you who are recreational cyclists, this can happen to the pros, it can happen to you, so let's always be careful out there. Another item I've mentioned on all of the Daily Tour podcasts so far for this year's Tour de France is an individual by the name of Juan Mauricio Soler. And Juan Mauricio Soler suffered a crash on the first stage, and he started today's stage 10 minutes and 22 seconds behind Alejandro Valverde in the yellow jersey. He looks like he is in a lot of pain with his wrist injuries, yet he continues to soldier on for the team, and he continues to stay in the race. Another thing that can happen out there on the roads of France as we go through the Tour de France, you know, this is a very high-profile event every year, not just in France, but in Europe as well. And a lot of folks will sometimes use this as their time to try to get a little bit of time in front of the cameras and make their statement, and that happened today. As a matter of fact, it happened around this between 60 and 55 kilometers to go in the race when a group of union demonstrators decided to make their case out on the roads and tried to block the roads and get some camera time. Now, the four-man break made it through those demonstrators, but the question was whether or not those demonstrators would hold up the peloton, thereby allowing the breakaway to gain additional time. On the TV screens, there was ASO boss Christian Prudhomme pleading and begging with the protesters to get off the road and not hamper the progress of the peloton. Sure enough, as the peloton went through, the protesters had moved off to the side of the road, and the breakaway's lead continued to drop. By 50 kilometers to go in the race, the break still had a lead of 6 minutes, about 6.75 minutes over the peloton. It was pouring rain, and at this point, we began to wonder whether or not this was going to be one of those breaks that would succeed. Now, the rule of thumb in stage racing is that a charging peloton can usually make up about 1 minute for every 10 kilometers raced out on the road. So here we are with 50 kilometers to go. There's a deficit of 6 minutes and 45 seconds. Could the peloton put the hammer down hard enough in order to reel these four racers back in? Now, with only 25 kilometers to go in the race, the gap was still standing at 5 1/4 minutes, about 5 minutes and 15 seconds between the breakaway and the peloton. And it was now that everyone started to think and actually cheer for these guys, everyone thinking that they might actually be able to stay away and this break might succeed. And then a crash in the peloton. The crash included Nicky Sorensen from Team CSC and Angel Gomez from Sonier Duval. Gomez went down hard. Sorensen back on his bike very quickly. Gomez did not get back on his bike. Looked like he may have had a shoulder injury, and he was the second racer to abandon the 2008 Tour de France. Now, with 15 kilometers to go, the lead was down to 3 minutes and 52 seconds, and it seemed like, barring some catastrophe, the break should succeed. Meanwhile, back in the peloton had been split in two by the crash, the yellow jersey of Alejandro Valverde remaining in the main group of the peloton, but many of the race favorites were in that second group, and they had lost a significant amount of time over the yellow jersey. Guys like Denis Menchov and Ricardo Rico were on that second group of the peloton and definitely would see that they would lose time by the end of the day. Well, with 10 kilometers to go until the finish, the breakaway had 3 minutes and 9 seconds over the field. There was no doubt any longer. The breakaway would succeed today, and the question was not only who would take the stage, but who would end up wearing the yellow jersey. It seemed clear that Roman Falu would be the one taking the yellow jersey at the end of the day because he was the highest placed in the general classification going into today's stage, sitting in 58th position, 18 seconds behind Valverde. And while Valverde seemed destined to lose the yellow jersey today, he might have the opportunity to make up some additional time over some of his main rivals. Well, then, of course, it was time in the breakaway for the cat and mouse games to begin. And that really began about at the 2 kilometers to go stage when there were 2 minutes and 38 seconds between the break and the peloton. The initial rider to take off was Desmoulins, followed very closely by William Frischkorn. But in the end, Falu began to take chase. And Borghini was left behind. Falu tried. Seemed like he was going to take the victory, but Desmoulins charged past him on the right-hand side of Roman Falu, and so did Frischkorn, so that Desmoulins took the stage, followed by Frischkorn in second, Roman Falu in third, and Borghini in fourth. And then, when the peloton came through, there was quite an exciting sprint for the points at the line. Robbie McEwen taking fifth place, followed by Eric Zabel, Oscar Freire, and Tor Husovt of Norway. So by the end of today's stage, there was indeed a shakeup in the general classification and a new yellow jersey wearer. But before we get to that, let's round out that top 10 stage results. Again, in first place, Samuel Desmoulins from France and Team Cofidis, 5 hours, 5 minutes, and 27 seconds. In second place, with the same time, and the initiator of today's break from end to end with a really great performance, William Frischkorn from the United States and Garmin Chipotle. Third place, Roman Falu from France and Agri Tubel. In fourth, 14 seconds back of Desmoulins, Paolo Longo Borghini from Italy and Team Barlow World. Coming in 2 minutes and 3 seconds behind Samuel Desmoulins, in 5th through 10th place. In 5th, Robbie McEwen from Australia and Ceylon Slotto. 6th, Germany's Eric Zabel from Team Milram. In 7th, Spain's Oscar Freire from Team Rabobank. In 8th, from Norway, it's Tor Husovt from Credit Agricole. In 9th, Robert Forster from Germany and Team Gerolsteiner. And in 10th place, from Team Colombia and Great Britain, it's Mark Cavendish. So here is your new yellow jersey wearer for stage 4, tomorrow's individual time trial. In first place, 13 hours, 27 minutes, and 5 seconds, Roman Falu from France and Agri Tubel. In second place, Paolo Longoborghini from Team Barlow World, 35 seconds back. 1 minute, 42 seconds back, it's William Frischkorn from the United States and Garmin Chipotle. In fourth place, 1 minute, 45 seconds back, Alejandro Valverde from Cast Aparna. In fifth place, Kim Kirkin from Team Colombia is 1 minute, 46 seconds back. Sixth through 10th are also 1 minute, 46 seconds back. In sixth place, Oscar Freire from Team Rabobank. Seventh, Jerome Pinot from Bouygues Telecom. In eighth, David Miller from Garmin Chipotle. In ninth place, Cadel Evans from Australia and Ceylon Slotto. And in 10th place, from Team Liquigas and Italy, Filippo Pizzotto. Wearing the green jersey, Kim Kirkin from Luxembourg and Team Colombia, he has 69 sprint points. In the polka dot King of the Mountains jersey, it's still Thomas Vokler. Remember, there were no KOM points today. He's from Bouygues Telecom. He's got 19 points. And in the white jersey, for best young rider, it's Andy Schleck from Team CSC. Coming up next is tomorrow's Stage 4. Stage 4 is an individual time trial, and this one, relatively short and extremely flat, with just a couple of bumps in the roads, but really nothing to speak of. 29.5 kilometers from and to Cholet in France, and this one, well, this one really could be anybody's game, but it seems like everyone is talking about Team CSC's Fabian Cancellara. Fabian Cancellara, the world champion in the individual time trial, and should be the man to beat in tomorrow's race. So far this year, Cancellara has won Milan-San Remo and Tirreno-Adriatico, plus he got the points jersey for the Tour of Switzerland. He's been the national time trial champion in Switzerland in 2002, 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007, and 2008, and he is the defending world time trial champion, having won it both in 2006 and 2007. And of course, should he win tomorrow, he will not be a stranger to the Tour de France podium, because he's already won three stages of the Tour de France in his career. Now, in case you're not familiar with the way an individual time trial works, we start in reverse general classification order, which means that the last to start tomorrow is our current yellow jersey wearer, Romain Feilloux. Again, I will be covering this live via Twitter. Just go to twitter.com/dailytour, and there's no space between daily or tour. Or if you'd like to follow my Twitter updates on your cell phone, just send a text message to 40404 with the words follow Daily Tour. Thanks so much for joining us for another edition of the Daily Tour podcast. Look forward to talking to you again tomorrow. So long. That's it for today's episode of the Daily Tour podcast. If you'd like to comment on the show, please send an email to thefredcast@gmail.com. That's thefredcast@gmail.com. Or you can send a voicemail to area code 435-258-6373. That's 435-258-6FRED. Be sure to follow our frequent live updates of the day's racing via Twitter. The Twitter username is Daily Tour. Remember, there's no space. And you can sign up for those at twitter.com/dailytour or by sending a text message to 40404 with the words follow Daily Tour. And of course, please check out our website at www.thefredcast.com. for the final results of the day's racing, and of course, for the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. I will see you all again on the next episode of the Daily Tour or the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. Please don't forget to tell your friends about the show. We love to get new listeners. And in the meantime, thank you for listening to the Daily Tour Podcast.